Hello, this is Kyle Jones. Today we're discussing the goddesses of some 40,000 years ago. The argument has been, did the goddess religions exist prior to the patriarchal system of Judeo-Christianity? And if they did, do they replace the biblical God, Elohim, Yahweh, and his hope, his son, Jesus Christ, or Jesus the Messiah? I hope to show within this lecture that it was a necessity to have the particulars of a goddess religion prior to that of a patriarchal system, and that indeed the patriarchal system of the Bible, that is the patriarch himself, the Yahweh, the God, the Elohim, did indeed precede and supervene any ideas of goddess worship and goddess nature. I will begin my reading in the book that I started called Meander and Chevron. I hope to show that prehistoric Baltic goddess religions do indeed, number one, necessitate a theological / doctrinal marriage of ideas to a second millennium Hebrew patriarchal religious system. Number two, that they practiced realistic and important religious ceremonies which give us a sense of fulfillment via the patriarchal Jewish law and its prophetical messianic hope. Number three, that this goddess religion, did call for a Messiah through virgin birth. And number four, that they did indeed involve disparate themes which are found in Genesis chapters 1 through 3. Chapter 1. Such particular themes found in Baltic regions of 40,000 BC, such as the virgin birth, serpent, and also the Eve, are answered to by a story told in Genesis. We find in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 and following, quote, the break of contracts, end quote, between God and mankind via the serpent. The effect was the woman's newfounded wit alongside the divine expulsion of her kind from a physical and psychological Eden. What follows is the complex necessitation of paternal law to counter the paternal incestuous illegal act, that is, sexual congress between the appointed guardian and the guarded, namely Satan and Eve. Such furthered answers to this dilemma are richly embroidered with Genesis' first three chapters. We do also find these same iconic particulars, such as snake and snake motion, woman, man, fruit tree, holy trees, enlightenment, expulsion, and sacrifice for sin, all bound together in pictographic or picture form, or if you will, templates, such as the etchings found in early Chinese tortoise shells and bones. These earliest of pictographs do crown the earliest Chinese culture for being the main event for telling the story, or meaning, by which cultures start their reference point or their ontic referent. We also find the same type of tale told within the rebus of the earliest kingly or regal cylinder seals found in the Indus Valley, which today we call India. We do find these same semantic or culturally relevant particulars concluding their culturally significant ideas into story form within the Sumerian texts of Inanna. Such Sumerian particulars or rebus were bound into pictographic or picture form templates, much like what a photographer does with a camera as they take snapshots of a scene from their mind's eye or perspective. These same picture forms or template stories were relayed slightly later in Sumeria by the Sumerian scribes, who adopted the Akkadian alphabet or cuneiform phonemes to the Sumerian language. Such efforts to link the Akkadian cuneiform which were wedge-shaped phonemes or pronounced signs, did create a complexity of linguistic interchange between Sumeria and Akkad. Modern scholarships have indeed accounted for this same earliest of stories within early Proto-Indo-European tales, and the earliest languages which do enshrine the culture and their earliest tales into a synergistic and bound formula. All such early Proto-Indo-European accounts were observed and relayed by the late and great Oxford linguist Dr. Calvert Watkins in his book called, quote, How to Kill a Dragon, end quote. In the break of contracts, I will show the earliest of historical particulars, or rebus, or charade, some people say charade, that were kept sacredly in waiting. These earliest of historical particulars were to be naturally and justly arranged into a theological order. I would say that the call for a literal event and its correlative, figurative, and universal events, which do echo to this day in its literal and particular events. All such events within the evolution of maternal to paternal religion were divinely orchestrated and unified under a solid theological framework. All such events do call for a justifiable sense of the necessary, that is, the Christ figure, namely that of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.